November is recognized as Native American Heritage Month across the United States, a declaration signed by President George Bush in 1990. Here in the Upper Peninsula, the designation is sparking conversation and events celebrating, honoring, and working toward a better system that protects the traditions and culture of indigenous people. The work being done, the events being planned, supporting tribal sovereignty and treaty rights, up next on Media Meet. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. In 1990, President George Bush declared November Native American Heritage Month. The purpose of this declaration, to honor the culture and history of Native Americans in the United States. Fast forward nearly 20 years, Governor Whitmer now ordering Michigan agencies to step up collaboration with Native American tribes in the state. We're joined today by Northern Michigan University Professor April Lindela, President of the Native American Student Association, Bazile Panik, and NMU Professor Martin Reinhardt. Thank you all for joining us. I appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you.
Now, Native American Heritage Month, Governor Whitmer's order of Michigan agencies, these are all steps toward recognizing and supporting tribal sovereignty and treaty rights. Talk to us about this month, about it being a catalyst for bigger conversations, education, a chance to sit down at the table and say, where are we? Where do we still need to go?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that this has been going on longer than 1990 and the governor's recent declaration. There's a lot of people who put their heart and soul into recognizing these cultures. And of course, the cultures themselves have been here for thousands of years. But if you go back to the late 1960s, early 1970s, there have been people that have been calling for Indigenous Peoples Day, Native American Heritage Day, weeks and months for a long time. It wasn't recognized or declared by a president until 1990.
Sure. And now, you know, it's certainly conversations that should be happening all year, but it is an opportunity for people to really take a look at what's happening and just talk about the month for you.
So I think one of the things that made me happy to see this idea of the governor saying this conversation needs to be stepped up with tribal nations is really recognizing the two governing bodies as the state government and all of the 12 tribal governments within Michigan, as well as those governments who are tied to Lake Superior and the Great Lakes as well, because we can't not consider them because they're still attached to our great area here that we call Michigan. So I think that's really important because I think for them, it's going to really expand their knowledge and not only how to serve tribal nations and tribal citizens that much better, but also just also be able to say what have we been missing? What do we need to add? What do we need to enhance? And tribal nations and citizens have opinions on that. So we love the opportunity to be able to kind of come to the table and talk about it.
Absolutely. And Bazile, you're the president of the Native American Student Association. Talk to us a little bit about the association and your role as president, what your goals are. Yeah.
The Native American Student Association is this community of students on campus who are mostly Native American studies majors here at NMU. Some are other majors, some are even non-Native in our organization. What we really do is to create events and facilitate these events that bring Native American culture, history, and languages to the greater public instead of just through the Native American Studies classes. We can create these events and show the public who don't get to take these Native American Studies classes the Native American history, culture, language that's so prevalent in this area.
Absolutely. And Marty, what is your concentration as professor at NMU?
I focus on American Indian education, how it's been done or not done over the years, and looking at the relationships between tribes and especially treaties.
Sure. And April?
I currently am teaching a class in Native American media that looks at representation and how the media has, over the years, decided what Native peoples will look like, but then what also happens when Native people get the cameras and how do they choose to self-represent themselves with media, both you know, mass media such as film, but also now emerging media with social media and things like that. So I think I love that class. It's a great class to, especially talking to you on TV here. This is one of those times where we can kind of govern ourselves and have that representation with this medium. Another thing I teach is research and engagement and looking at that from an Indigenous studies perspective, very distinct because we are our own discipline and we're not associated with other disciplines other than to work cooperatively with them.
Sure. And I know you all had a role in putting together this year's Sonderegger Symposium. Mm-hmm. They focused entirely on Native American Heritage Month. Mm-hmm. The keynote speaker, Karen Diver, she was the Director of Business Development for Native American Initiatives at the University of Arizona. She's a tribal leader in Fond du Lac, Minnesota. And before she worked for the University of Arizona, she was appointed to the Obama administration as the Special Assistant to the President for Native American Affairs. She worked on policy and regulatory changes at the time for 567 Native American tribes. So while she was on campus, she stopped by the WNMU studio to talk to us about her work and the work that still needs to be done. And she spoke a lot about wellness, looking at the whole picture, using common sense, starting from the beginning. And I do want to play a few sound bites, you know, throughout the show today. So this first one, though, is the one that she talks specifically about wellness. So I think we can play that.
I think for Indigenous people, it's really holistic when you talk about wellness. It's not just about the normal social indicators that one would think of, you know, morbidity, mortality rates, and things like that. It really is about a connection to language, culture, history, and spirituality, which encompass many things, environmental and natural resources issues. It's about having strong governance systems and supporting tribal governance and building their institutions so that they can effectively manage programs. It's about building resiliency, which is strongly tied to culture and spirituality. And those things are also really tied to traditional life ways like hunting, fishing, gathering, and taking care of the earth. So when you look along a continuum, elements that support any of those things really contribute to wellness.
So when you keep in mind what she said, talk to us about the work being done specifically in the Upper Peninsula. What is the current relationship between our local, state, city, township, state agencies, and tribal governments? Are our elected officials here in the Upper Peninsula taking the right approach to wellness?
That's a great big question.
It is a big question, and like we said, we could talk.
Right, exactly. But I think it's an important one because wellness, as she alluded to, is about a lot bigger, a lot more holistic. So there's educational wellness, there is the spiritual wellness, there is the environmental wellness, because that all ties into each other. The governance wellness and self-determination and sovereignty, all of it is braided together into this tapestry that really talks about more holistic health. And so what I think is when other municipalities separate or other parts of society separate that health and wellness, it's a disservice to all.
Sure.
Because I think it's hard to say, well, what do we have to ask about this topic? Let's say it's water, because of course we're the Great Lakes State. Who are all the factors that need to be at the table who talk about water and the wellness of water, which we all need?
Sure.
I think that's one of the things that's difficult, is bringing all the right people to the table.
And she really stressed that you really have to look at the whole picture. You can't just, we right. so often piece it apart, and that doesn't work that way. It's not a conversation that way.
Well, I think we have a great tool that comes out of Anishinaabe tradition, I think other tribal traditions as well, and that's a medicine wheel. And in that medicine wheel, we're taught that the center of a circle is that place of balance and harmony in nature. And I think that's what we want for all these things, right?
Sure.
We know that it's a place that we want to be. We also know it's hard to get there. So we pass through it every now and then we look back and say, "Jay, that felt good." Mm. And so we want to be there. We want to be in balance and harmony in nature. I think also we have to keep in mind that the relationships developed over a long period of time, right? These things, especially for Indigenous people, we've been here for thousands of years. And so our sense of wellness in this area has a deep history. You know, before Marquette was ever Marquette, it was Gitche Namay B'nai Z'bing. Mm. And we tend to forget that, yeah. You know, when we say Marquette, Michigan, United States, Western Hemisphere. And so I think it's important that we think about how health looks over a long time versus a very short time and how things have impacted our health recently.
Sure. And when you talk about keeping traditions and culture alive, a big piece of that is language. And NMU was the first university in the state to offer a Native American Studies program, I believe. And then this year, they received a grant to expand Anishinaabe language course offerings. So talk about that and how important that is in that, in just keeping that alive.
Yes, absolutely. NMU in fall of 16 was the first public university, state-run university in Michigan to offer a baccalaureate degree, a four-year degree in Native American Studies. We also, however, offer associate degree, minor programs, and contribute to a Master's of Educational Administration in cooperation with our School of Education here. So for us, the grant that we received from the Nottawaseppe tribe downstate, the Native American Heritage Fund, is to help us further our language teaching efforts. The language has been taught here for years and years, decades, but we've never gone past that sort of beginning few steps, the intermediate few steps. We really need to be able to kind of look forward. And what about those students who are now receiving language learning at the K-12 level and they're coming here and maybe they already have 3 or 4 years of language at their tribal high school or public school? What do we do with those students to kind of really keep them energized, and as well as the students who have taken classes already at NMU? So one of the things that we're looking at doing is expanding our offerings within Native American Studies and saying, well, how do we talk about tribal law and government, which is already a class in our program, but of course it's taught in English.
Sure.
So how do we look at that particular class and say, what are the language and what's the vocabulary associated with that particular class? What about our Michigan-Wisconsin Tribal Relations class? What's the language associated with that? As well as how do we build a community, a cohort of community and scholars to actually work on documentation and translation of language. And so that's going to be classes at the master's degree level, where we foresee that forecasting to come in the years following. So that's what the grant is helping us do, is build a stronger, even stronger foundation and more long-term teaching for our language students.
That's fantastic. Another designation that happened this month was by President Trump. He declared November as National American History and Founders Month. This proclamation stating that we must develop a deeper understanding of our American story. So, and while he also recognized Native American Heritage Month, some are saying this is blatant disrespect and a step in the wrong direction. Any thoughts on that?
Well, certainly not the first time he's disrespected Native people. And I think we just come to expect that out of this person. So, you know, it certainly didn't surprise me. And it's not that we want to ignore what we think of as the founding people, sure, of the United States. The United States history is intermingled with Native history here. And I think it's high time that the United States come to grips with its indigenous roots. You know, we've been here thousands of years. We have the human history that the United States should really consider part of its legacy. And if we're ever, you know, going to become the best nation that we can be, it certainly can't be dividing us in our society. It have to be uniting us.
Absolutely. April, anything on that?
I agree. It wasn't a surprise to me as well. And especially, I think, with that distinct proclamation, though, would he also be including the Haudenosaunee Confederacy that actually inspired Benjamin Franklin and some of the others to build the government that they did? I don't know about that, but I certainly agree with Dr. Reinhardt on this, that I think we have a lot of work to do at the national level, and so I hope to see this conversation grow in a positive way.
Sure, sure. We're going to listen to another soundbite from Karen, but first I just want to give a quick update to those who may be joining us and for our guests listening on Public Radio 90. We're talking about Native American Heritage Month and the issues facing Native Americans today. Joining us are Northern Michigan University Professor April Lindela, President of NMU's Native American Student Association, Bazile Panik, and NMU Professor Marty Reinhardt. Thank you again for joining us. When Karen Diver spoke, she talked about using common sense in regards to economic growth versus the environment. Let's listen to how she explains this important dialogue and relationship.
You know, so I think once again, this is where common sense can really inform public policy debates, especially where we too often get viewed as having singular interests in various issues. And with extractive industries, you know, too often the debate is framed economic development versus environment. I think the debate needs to be reframed as economic development and the environment, that one shouldn't come at the detriment of others. And so, you know, a part of the argument I think that a lot of indigenous folks have been making is, you know, you have broad swaths of, you know, pristine territories in many cases, pristine waters, potentially being sacrificed, especially around copper nickel mining, for the benefit of a couple hundred jobs for 20 years. And, you know, citizens need to ask themselves who live there, when water and air quality is affected, it affects you too. Will your 200 jobs be worth the effects that will happen, that will outlive our lifetime and several generations after us? And I think commonsensically the answer should be that's too high a price, and the economic impact isn't enough to offset the, you know, environmental degradation that's fairly permanent. So, you know, I would hope that policymakers that are involved, whether they're state regulatory agencies, state political actors, federal actors, should say, you know, what is the right place, what is the right time, and what is the right economic development effort to balance all of those needs.
And this is a debate that we have seen time and time again in the Upper Peninsula. When you're talking about extracting minerals and then the impact on the environment and on lands that have long been used to hunt, fish, and gather, do you feel the situation is being handled the way it should be here in the Upper Peninsula?
We have an identity crisis here, and I think that's across the land. When the ore dock is the center of our Marquette identity, there's a problem, right? We used to have the center of our village was a fire site where we came together, and we, you know, used these values that we were taught in our oral tradition to make decisions. Now we make them seemingly without thinking about Mother Earth. You know, we are caught in this short-term economic gain type of mentality versus a long-term ecological sustainability. We need to protect our mother.
Sure. Bazil?
Yeah, I totally agree with Marty on this. What is the short-term economic growth and short-term satisfaction? How does that compare to our long-term living on this earth? If there isn't clean water to drink or these clean forests to live in, where are jobs going to come in and fix that? And what is this short-term satisfaction versus long-term?
So how do we start those conversations? And I mean, where does it begin to change that? Thoughts on that?
Go ahead, April.
Well, I'm thinking that the idea that Governor Whitmer has asked that more conversations happen with tribal nations,
sure,
that it be a two-way conversation, and that the, as I mentioned earlier, tribal nations and tribal citizens have things to say about how things are being governed. And I think for many tribal nations in this state, certainly the protection of the Great Lakes, protection of treaties that are tied to, whether it be hunting rights, gathering rights, water rights, educational provisions, rights, all of those things have to be addressed. And so what's happened, I think, in the past is that a number of our state elected officials aren't well-versed enough in treaty law and understand,
sure,
our treaties well enough to understand why tribal nations are so adamant in fighting for them. Is because in reality, every single citizen of the state of Michigan benefits from treaties.
Sure.
So certainly the tribes have their provisions that are outlined, but they are distinct to each area. And so I think for myself, hearing that Governor Whitmer wants more training and more conversations to happen, I think that's a great opportunity for those kind of conversations to start. So it sounds like she's maybe made that beginning happen.
For sure, yeah.
One of the things we talk about in our classes is the trilateral relationship between tribes, federal government, and state governments. There's a family of three governments in the United States. I think all too often we forget to include tribes at the at that level. Tribes are often an afterthought. And I think that we see that with the Enbridge Line 5 under the Mackinac Straits. You know, they didn't really consult with tribes until much later on.
Sure.
And of course, our treaty rights. Our people have been here thousands of years, hunting, fishing, gathering, living in this area. And we are very concerned about the other people. And when I say the other people, I'm talking about the fish, I'm talking about the plants, the other animals, of course, and the other human beings. Yeah. But we have a lot to be thankful for, you know, to live in this part of the world. And we gotta take care of that, you know. Bringing us in at the 11th hour to talk about the potential impact and saying, oh yeah, and then there's the tribes. That's not gonna cut it.
Yeah, yeah. So having that conversation earlier, mm-hmm. at the beginning.
And for me, as a member of the youth community, it's scary for me to have these state representatives and the people who are governing the state that I'm going to school, and it's scary for me to know that they may not know about the treaty rights that I am partaking in. They don't know about my hunting and fishing and gathering rights, and that's scary to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about the Center for Native American Studies at Northern Michigan University a bit more. And I want to make sure we talk about some of the events still coming up this month. But before we do that, what does it mean? We'll start with you. Actually, we'll listen to a soundbite first from Karen again. One more. Just about having a center like this in the Upper Peninsula on campus for tribal citizens, for students. But she had a nice soundbite regarding that.
So obviously having a dedicated voice for Indigenous peoples on campus is important, but it's probably not as important. It's not important for the reasons you may think.
Okay.
One, that center would be important for Indigenous folks because that's a place where they can belong. And they don't have to explain their identity, history, and culture to everybody else and be a teacher as well as try to be a learner here. And it's something that strengthens their own communities. And they see themselves represented. To the extent that this institution can use that as a multidisciplinary launch pad and really indigenize all aspects of the academy here is to everyone's benefit. For example, who would have thought that an astronomy class could have mention of the use of Indigenous star systems and the fact that Indigenous people, that astronomy was an important part of their lifeways and how they used it for navigation, for stories around spirituality and mythology. And so every discipline here can have an aspect of Indigenous culture and traditional knowledge. So the center is a good place to start. But it doesn't let all of the other disciplines off the hook.
So I think that's something that you all have really done well with the center. You've created this authentic space for students to be themselves, to provide education, to keep traditions alive, create a community. So talk mm-hmm. a little bit about what that is like for you as a student.
As a sophomore, even as a sophomore, I do get homesick. I miss the reservation. I miss being among other Native peoples that I've grown up with. The Center for Native American Studies for me has provided that community and provided that space for me to feel like I belong in this this Western institution. There is still that aspect of Native studies or Native people that I can go to and feel like I really belong with them, and they really understand my struggles and understand my hopes and dreams in this academic institution.
Sure. And she talks a lot about just expanding the teachings into other disciplines. Talk about that, how that's already being done.
Certainly. Yeah. A number of years ago, we had a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts that was a merging of Native American studies with the creative arts, as well as we've had a federal grant from the National Science Foundation that was a merging of Native American studies with science, technology, engineering, and math. And then most recently, we've received a grant from the Office of Victims of Crime to merge Native American studies with the discipline of social work, specifically victim services. And so these are giving us avenues to be able to cooperatively work with other disciplines to enhance all students' experiences in those areas. And it's really allowed us to get to know our other colleagues in those areas better, and like she said, not let them off the hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, when we think of a center for Native American studies, you know, we think of it in a number of ways. You know, I think metaphorically, it's the center of Native things, Native culture, Native language, Native relations here on campus and in this area. I think it's also a place where we center on critical thinking skills and engaging these issues, these myriad of issues that come from all disciplines. The interdisciplinary nature of Native American studies makes us have to be experts in addressing things from all kinds of different perspectives.
Yeah. And there are a number of events still happening on campus in Marquette, around the Upper Peninsula, in recognition of Native American Heritage Month. And I do want to make sure we point a couple of those out. We have a graphic that I think will come up. There we go. We have the NASA meet and greet. Mm-hmm. So that's down at the Marquette Commons on Monday, November 18th. Obviously, you're going to be there. Can you tell us a little bit
definitely.
About this event?
It'll actually be on NMU's campus in the Whitman Hall Commons.
That's what it says there.
very excited for this event. This is going to be kind of Native American Student Association this semester. We're winding down. We want to relax together, have some good food, and maybe talk about our plans for next semester. We're very busy organization, so it's good to kind of have next semester's plans in mind.
For sure. And then there's a fitness class coming up at the PEEF. In April, I know you said you were involved in putting that together. Explain what that
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, yes. This is about the idea of wellness that we talked about earlier, and that physical wellness, but also the cultural wellness, in that this is done through powwow dance. And a friend of mine, Michelle Reed, is a well-known dancer in the area, and she's put together a routine of fitness through powwow dancing. And so the School of Health and Human Performance is graciously let us go in their space and have fitness class there.
And this is one of two, I think, that you had this month.
We have two more month, but we will actually have a number of classes next semester as well during the wintertime.
Very good. Very nice. And then there are a couple of panel discussions, one happening at Whitman Commons on November 25th and or November 21st, and then one happening in Sault Ste. Marie on November 25th. And there are a number of other events happening across the Upper Peninsula. A couple of websites here to show you if you want to find out more places you can go. SiouxTribe.com and nmu.edu/CNAS for Center for Native American Studies. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today. Really quick, just a little bit about the Food Nations Taster. I know that was a big event for you. Talk about how that went.
Yeah, the First Nations Food Taster went really well. This is my first year as the Native American Student Association president. It was a big learning curve to host this big event. We had about 300 attendees, 130 volunteers that helped make this event a success. What I really took out of this was we facilitated an event where the Marquette community can come together with the NMU students and celebrate these indigenous decolonized foods and really experience what it might have been like, to live in this area for thousands of years ago.
Definitely. Well, a lot of really great events that I've seen happening and some good ones still coming up, and not just this month, but all year long. And so follow everything that you're doing all year. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It was a great discussion. I look forward to the next one. April Lindela, professor at NMU, president of the Native American Student Association, and Martin Reinhardt, NMU professor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are out of time. Until next time, I'm Elizabeth Peterson for Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.